I introduced what David Murray and the Happy Christian calls in chapter 1, happy facts, and in application of Romans 12, 1 and 2, I began to discuss the idea of the transforming of your minds, not being conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed in our minds so we may prove what is acceptable to God. There is great hope in this. And this is another place where David Murray cites some of the scientific and medical studies that have been done regarding the practices of medicine and the study of the brain. And he gives a lot of discussion about what is called neuroplasticity, which is the idea of the paths of the brain being not set in stone. And the importance of this is that habits form through practice, and you get better and better with something the more you practice it. An example of this might be learning to play an instrument. So I know some of you are musically inclined. Do some of you know how to play a musical instrument? What instrument do you play?
The piano.
The piano. What other instruments?
Ukulele.
Uh-huh. Good. Yeah. All of these are instruments that take a lot of practice. Some of you know a foreign language, something that improves over time. You could ask Jeff Spittler about trying to learn Swedish, and that it doesn't happen overnight, right?
Right.
I'm glad you didn't answer me in Swedish. So you get better and better the more you practice, and the brain develops pathways that are used over and over again, and that's why it becomes easier to play an instrument better as you practice it, or in language or things like that. This is also true in the way you think about the world or some of the disposition of the way you look at things. If you might, I hope you will remember the context that in Romans 12, the idea of transforming your mind is part of our sanctification. So God is redeeming us out of something, out of a former way of living, a former way of acting, and bringing us into a new way of living and thinking that is honoring to Him. And that takes practice. And as you practice, it is part of the means of grace that practice brings you more and more into conformity with God's image in us and the renewal of that. So it's hopeful to be reminded that paths can be changed. And I say that if you're struggling to unlearn a bad habit, or if you're wrestling with a habitual sin, it can be changed by God's grace. This is not something that you just say, oh well, this is where I am. It can't be changed. Well, it can be by God's grace. So take courage in that, and then take courage in the exhortation to be renewed in your mind and not be conformed to the world. So how do we do this? Murray suggests renewing your mind in an area of thought patterns, and he gives six steps. This is not a 10-step program or something like that. That six steps for you to transform your sad interpretation of your life to understanding it in from God's perspective. And here are the six steps. Ask yourself these six questions. What are the facts? Second, what are my thoughts about the facts? third, what are my feelings? What are the facts? What are my thoughts about the facts? What are my feelings? Those first three questions are kind of diagnostic. If you've come to the end of a day and you and there's this dark cloud over your head, asking yourself, how did I get here, is a beginning point. And asking those first three diagnostic questions will help you to understand how you got there. What's happened? What are the facts? What are my thoughts about the facts? And so now what are my feelings that are associated with that? The next three questions are then about, they're called prescriptive. The first were diagnostic. These are prescriptive. What should you do? Question number four, can I change the facts? That's a pretty important question. Can I change the facts? Fifth, can I change my thoughts about the facts? And sixth, what am I feeling now? So can I change the facts? Can I change my thoughts about the facts? And what am I feeling now? Turn over to Psalm 77. I'm going to read through this and we'll very briefly go through these six steps, and you'll see the psalmist doing this, asking himself questions about this. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate with my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled, the clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, the lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We're not told specifically, but in a few words, what are the facts? What is he facing here?
Troubling times.
Yep. It's a day of trouble. We don't know exactly what that trouble was, but it is definitely a day of trouble. And his thoughts about the facts?
God has no more mercy for him.
Yeah. God has rejected him. God has cast him off. And his feelings about that?
Weariness, discomfort.
Yeah. He describes that through verses 1 through 9, but then there's a transition in 10. There's a transition as he begins to, after being descriptive of where he was, he is then more reflective. Can he change his facts? Can anyone change the facts?
but it's worth reminding ourselves that we cannot.
And it is an important question, isn't it? We cannot change the facts. And this gets back to, I think, something Mike was saying earlier, and as we remember God's action in history, that to recognize His hand at work and that we can't change those facts. But can we change our thoughts about the facts? How does he do so? What does he meditate on?
He remembers.
Yeah.
He thinks about the facts of what God has done.
Yeah. He brings alongside the troubling nature of what he's going through with other things that demonstrate God acting in history. And even cites a specific instance of that. Do you recognize what verses 16 through 20 are talking about? Yeah. The parting of the Red Sea and the deliverance that God brought to the children of Israel through that that instant. The point is, as he encounters the troubling times, as he is consumed by that he consciously and deliberately decides to think a different way about those facts, about what has happened to him. He begins to meditate on the goodness of God in history towards his people. And that mental shift is part of the transformation of the mind and a part of going against the world, so you're not conformed by the world. Like one of the things Murray said about this, he says we need to deliberately and systematically organize the evidence to challenge our thoughts and feelings until they break and give in under the weight of the evidence. He compares this to power of positive thinking that denies everything that's bad and really tells a lie about the world. He says that this is biblical thinking. It's realistic. It doesn't say that this wasn't bad, it wasn't troubling, but it chooses to think about those things in light of the goodness of God and His sovereignty. He gives a couple of other examples that you can meditate on this week. One of them is being caught in a traffic jam. Very practical. You're caught in a traffic jam, you're late for an appointment, and it's a very important appointment, and how are you going to react about that? We'll go through these six questions and find God in the midst of all of that and practice this aspect of being transformed in your mind. You can read about that as well in his book in chapter 1 and how he's done that. We'll press on from there. We'll have some more examples in slightly different settings in the weeks to come. Let's bow together in prayer as we close. Lord, thank you for acting in our lives, in history, and in real life. And I do pray, O Lord, that you would help us in the midst of those to interpret the facts around us from a realistic, honest way, a way that depends upon you in the midst of those troubles. I pray that we would look on these things, even as the psalmist does in Psalm 77. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.